Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orchid Pharma Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Manchanda from Systematix. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neera. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, I welcome you to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Orchid Pharma Limited. We thank the Orchid Pharma management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us the senior management of Orchid Pharma, represented by Mr. Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Mridul Dhanuka, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Gupta, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to the company management for opening remarks.
Thank you, Vishal. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for this discussion on our Q2 financial results for the year 2023-24. I'm delighted to share the remarkable progress we've made over the last quarter and the first half of this fiscal year. Let's begin with the numbers first. In Q2 of 2023-24, we achieved a revenue of 199 crores, representing a substantial increase compared to rupees 1 in the same quarter last year. This growth demonstrates the team's dedication and hard work. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 31 crores, a significant improvement from rupees 19 crores Q2 of 2022-23. Not only increased our profitability, also enhanced our operational efficiency. What's even more exciting is that we have achieved a profit before tax of rupees 31 crores during this quarter, marking a remarkable turnaround from a loss of rupees. This reflects our commitment to financial.
Sorry, we lost your audio in between.
Okay. Okay, let me repeat. What I was mentioning was that we've achieved a profit before tax of rupees 31 crores during this first half, marking a remark during this quarter, a remarkable turnaround from a loss of rupees 17 crores in the first half of 2022-23. This reflects our commitment to financial sustainability and shareholder value. Behind these remarkable financial results are some significant.
Sorry to interrupt you, but once again, we lost your audio. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Participants, sorry for the delay. We have the line for the management reconnected. Sir, you may go ahead.
Sorry, participants. We apologize for the problem. I was talking about the operational highlights. So behind these results, I think what we will attribute is to the substantial increase in sales, whereas the expenses have not increased correspondingly. We have streamlined our processes, enhanced productivity, and optimized costs to ensure that every rupee spent has a meaningful impact on our growth. On cost optimization, our focus on cost optimization has been relentless, as we've been speaking for the last 3 years. We've identified and implemented measures to eliminate inefficiencies across the organization. These efforts have not only resulted in improved EBITDA, but also allowed us to allocate resources more strategically, ensuring that we maximize our return on investment. One of the core pillars of our success has been our strategic initiatives. While our focus till now was on the stabilization of business and financial prudence, now that we have become debt-free, we are moving towards new strategic initiatives. We are glad to share that we are moving forward with a vision to integrate our business fully. While we are currently working on backward integration into the raw material supply chain by setting up the 7-ACA plant, thereby not only securing our supply lines
but also opening up the opportunities for cost savings. This initiative will not only bolster our bottom line, but also make us more resilient to the fluctuations in the market. On the other end, we are now strategically going ahead with forward integration into the ethical business directly to the end consumer. We have constituted a team to start a new division for critical care products for distribution and sales of medicines to the hospitals segment. The groundwork for this division is in progress, and we will share more information at the appropriate time. We expect to launch this business in the first quarter of 2024-25. This initiative will enable us to create more value for our customers and strengthen our brand presence. It will also pave the way for launching our new chemical entity, Enmetazobactam, in India once we get the approval for that. Further on the subject of strategic initiatives, I am extremely proud to announce that Orchid has been selected through a global tender for manufacturing a very important molecule called Cefiderocol, which is still under patent. We have signed a sub-licensing agreement with Shionogi Japan through GARDP, who had in-licensed the product from Shionogi. The purpose of this agreement is to give Orchid rights to manufacture this patented product for 135 countries of low and middle income group. The technology for this highly complex product shall be transferred directly by Shionogi to Orchid. It is a philanthropic initiative of Shionogi to provide access to the population of low-income countries to address the growing problem of antimicrobial resistance. Cefiderocol is a very effective antibiotic against some of the most resistant bacteria, and it is likely to save many lives which succumb to this menace. It is a matter of pride for us that we were selected through a grueling process of thorough financial due diligence, ESG audit, GMP audit, and technical capability assessment in competition with the best of the companies in the world. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic. We are committed to maintaining our growth trajectory with continued investment in capacity expansion, newer technologies, and newer marketing avenues, while ensuring the stability of our business. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all from my side. I'd like to open the floor for questions now.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. First question is from Lan of Janil Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers again. My first question is on the NCE. What is the update on clinical trials in India?
So we had filed the application a few months back, and the DCGI came up with certain queries which have now been addressed, and it has been filed back to the DCGI. We are waiting for their final understanding on our proposal.
Okay. So we are still not sure if the clinical trial has to be done or no.
So what we have done, yes, we have applied for a waiver also. As you know, I spoke in my speech also, there's a lot of focus on antimicrobial resistance. So we will definitely request the government to allow us for at least an emergency use or give us the waiver with phase four, the condition of phase four trials. At the same time, we have also prepared the protocol so that our overall application does not get delayed. To some extent, last few months, the progress in DCGI was a bit slow. But we are expecting next few months it will improve.
Sure. And on the new agreement related to Cefiderocol, what is the investment that is required, and when do we see these revenues coming in?
Here there are two parts. We would be manufacturing the finished dose itself. We will be making the injection vials. For the API, the investment is not so significant. We will use the existing facility. For the finished dose formulation, new plant is going to be set up, which will recover around 80 crore-100 crore.
Yeah. The timeline for launch would be sometime towards second half of 2026.
Sure. Just one more on, you know, PLI downstream products. You know, do we have any manufacturing experience with such products, or does it require any new technical expertise? How are we thinking about it, and what would be the required investment in, you know, our capacities for that?
Yeah. For PLI downstream product, Orpheus already has the technology. In fact, we can make those products and compete with anywhere in the world with any company. It's just that we don't have large enough capacity. Technical capability is not a problem, and experience is also not a problem. Orchid makes those products for its own consumption. I explained earlier that downstream products are purchased from Chinese companies by other Indian companies, and they make the final API in India. Orchid starts from the key raw material and makes the final API in India. Technology and know-how is available with Orchid. Coming to the investment, this would be close to around 100 crore rupees for the downstream processing.
Sure. This is very helpful. If I have any more questions, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Mridul. Hi, Manish. Just a few questions.
Viraj, sorry to interrupt you. Can you please speak through the handset?
Is this better?
Slightly.
Yeah. Just a few questions. First is we saw a sharp increase in other income during this quarter of approximately 6 crore quarter-on-quarter. If you could just explain as to where that increase has come from. Second question is, I mean, we've been guiding, you know, high teens growth on a yearly basis, but in the H1 of FY 2024, we're already at 29% year-on-year growth. Could we see an upward guide revision in your top line guidance for this year?
Yeah. Thanks, Viraj, for the question. On the other income front, basically the cash that is sitting in after QIP, which we received in during the last week of June, the interest on that is a large part. Out of roughly 8 crore of other income, 5 crore is interest and rest is the foreign exchange gain that we always have due to the rupee depreciation against the dollar, and 80%-90% of our sales is exports. That's on the other income part. Your other question was regarding the guidance on the top line. We maintain our guidance of, you know, long term. If you look 3 years from today, look back, the sales growth should be in the range of 20%-25%.
Sure. No royalty has been received or is in the pipeline in near term. Do you see any royalty coming in from Enmetazobactam sales worldwide? Any clarity on that?
Viraj, the only source of information is what we get from Allecra. Based on our discussion recently, they were hoping that by February, the deadline for U.S. FDA to approve is February. We are hoping that will probably turn out to be the first commercialization. I think that's the only source of information we have. The Europe has already been applied. Somehow, I mean, Chinese happened first, but it's getting delayed.
Sure. Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. If you could just share some more details around this cefiderocol deal. How many companies have got this license, and how does it work actually? Do you supply directly to, I mean, do you have to enter into partnerships in these countries or you supply to the innovator? I'm not quite sure how this deal works.
Yeah, thanks, Kunal, for the question. Some of the details of the agreement are confidential, but I can share some ideas with you. The idea for Shionogi to share this license with us is on a charitable purpose. Out of the 135 low and middle income countries, in all the low income countries, there is no royalty. India and the largest market for this happen to fall in the category of low income, where Shionogi will not get any royalty on the sale. So the license is divided into two parts. One is the manufacturing license. As you would have seen our press release, right now we have signed the manufacturing license, which is on cost plus basis. The idea is to provide accessibility of this medicine to people who cannot afford it. So our margins are protected, and the target that we will have will be to reduce this cost from the innovators to 80 to 90%, but that we will be able to figure out after the technology transfer, etc. is completed. There would be a second piece of license which Gartpi and Shionogi together will sign with various people across the world to sell this product in those countries. Orchid may or may not have a share in those.
Kunal, I believe your line is on mute.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I got that. Thanks a lot for this. Secondly, in middle, if I heard you correctly, you plan to go into formulations manufacturing, right? These injectables. I don't think you have shared, you have never given that you will be
including. Kunal, your audio is not coming clear. Can you come closer to the mic?
Yeah, I hope this is better. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Mritul, I don't think you have shared in the past that you want to do, formulation manufacturing. So just wondering, what has changed that, you are now going to manufacture in-house, and why not use a CMO?
So, Kunal, I think 2 quarters back, we did mention that we are exploring the idea of going into formulations. So we were working on a plan. Now, the plan is in place, and now we are put together a team, and we do wish to launch this. See, the idea behind that is because we will have 2 proprietary molecules. One is enmetazobactam and one is cefiderocol coming up in next 1 to 2 years. And we want to have a network of our own so that we can distribute and maximize the gains from these molecules in the market, which would be almost exclusive to us. And with respect to the manufacturing, as of today, our plan is to manufacture cefiderocol, which is a lyophilization-based injection. But for the powder filling type of injection, we would be using the CMOs, which are very much available in India, and they have an excess capacity.
Got it. And just one more, if I can. As far as the cost of some of your raw materials how has it been, or any indications going up, down? Some color would be helpful.
Kunal, honestly, with so much of Chinese import, we really don't want to comment. But in the immediate, we have found that the raw material prices have come down. But you can't take it on the face value. There are so many fluctuations when it comes to raw materials. So I would not suggest anybody to take that into consideration. We just follow the trend, and we just try to be prudent so that we can manage ahead of the cycle.
Yeah, and also with respect to assuming your follow-up question on gross margins with respect to that. So basically, all our emerging market customers are very smart. They watch the Chinese prices, and the moment those prices fall, the API prices in emerging markets also. I've explained earlier that these are spot market businesses, and our gross margin profile would remain similar to where we are.
So just maybe, on this only. So like Manish mentioned, the prices are falling or have fallen. Is it like a normal, fluctuation, or it's more like, something out of the ordinary?
Kunal, sorry, again, we are losing your audio.
Yeah. I'd say it is cyclical. It is cyclical, mostly demand and supply based. I don't think we can read too much into that.
Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, Nikhil.
Yeah, two questions. Congratulations on good improvements in the earnings. One is, recently we had a press release that we had increased our capacity on sterile. So now with this, what is the overall increase in the sterile capacity which we have done? That is one. And secondly, if you can share the revenue breakup between regulated markets and non-reg, and similarly revenue breakup between injectables and oral dosage. And one clarification, yeah. On the regulated market, how much would be US for us?
Thanks for so many questions. I'll try and remember and answer all of them. The first one is the regulated versus emerging market split. So regulated is roughly 40% and emerging markets are roughly 60%. That's been the trend for the past, and we expect this will continue in the future as well. On the second question you asked is the oral versus sterile split. So since this block was commissioned till that time, our oral versus sterile split is around 70% oral and 30% sterile. Normally it tends to be around 1/3, 2/3. And with the commissioning of this new sterile block, we expect it to climb back up to the 1/3, 2/3 from where it has slightly fallen. And on the last question is, luckily you said how much capacity on sterile has been added. It's 50 to 75 tons. And as I've explained earlier on this forum, that the capacity cannot be defined in kg actually, because it is fungible across all our 30-40 products. So some product can come 5 tons in the same plant in the same time, and some product can come only 500 kg in the same plant in the same time. So talking about that number does not make much value.
Okay, just one question. What would be the revenue contribution from US for us?
Yeah, revenue contribution from US right now is negligible. Orchid is building the US business, and in the future we hope to see this number climb significantly.
Okay, and last question, the reason to ask this oral and sterile is because we've seen a gross margin of around 39-40, and what I understand is that as the mix between oral and sterile changes, that will also have some impact on the gross margin. So once we come back to that 65-35, sequentially this gross margin should see some improvement. Just trying to understand, is it a right understanding?
It may or may not, Nikhil. Although fundamentally steriles have a higher margin than oral products, but it all depends on at that time the product market mix, how it is working out for us. So it may come and it will be good for us, but I do not want to guide on that. I would prefer that the gross margin profile stays similar to where we are, ±1-2%.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thanks. I'll come back.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Himanshu Padhyay from O3 Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. And congrats on good set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes, Himanshu, you are.
Yeah, so my first question is, yeah, the injectables, the new plant which came up, are all regulatory approvals with us, or it will take some more time for all the regulatory approvals to come for the injectable new plant which we have?
Yeah, so injectable regulated market capacity is not a constraint for Orchid. So any regulated market business is serviced first from the existing capacity. This was set up largely with looking at the new Para 4 filings that we are doing in the US. and the new product going to come off patent in the future. So the regulated market approval for this plant will take time as and when the agencies come for inspection. So we are doing validation batches here product by product, and we hope to see approval of this facility when the auditors come here.
Okay, and secondly, there is a lot of volatility in the API and raw material prices, okay? But if we look at our numbers have turned good, one is obviously your efforts and efficiency. But can you also give how much is the change or improvement because of product mix or increase in volumes? Some thoughts on that will be helpful and will give us more clarity on the things which are happening in the industry, because not many players are listed and who depend on this particular product very heavily. So some idea will be helpful.
So yeah, so basically our strategy is looking at our fungibility of capacities. We try and evaluate which product will give us highest gross margin for the time spent in the facility. So those are the products we pick first, and on a rank order basis, go down to the lowest one. So there is no set pattern to with respect to what is going to be the product market mix change. It all depends on what the customer is demanding, and a lot of that depends on what tender he has won this year. So it's extremely variable, and unfortunately, we've not been able to identify any patterns into that. But overall, if you see on a consolidated level, it works out well for us, where you don't see much variability in our numbers.
Okay, and the CAPEX which we were to do, have we finalized the land and are the approvals etc. we have got, and have we given the orders for capital good?
Yeah, thanks, that's a good question, Himanshu. So the land acquisition unfortunately is slightly delayed in Jammu. So that's going on. Hopefully by end of this calendar year, we should be able to complete that. And progress on other fronts is good. The technology transfer, right now our team is in the technology partners facilities taking the transfer. Our pilot facilities are ready, and the engineering design is nearer to completion. So the equipment order placement time would come towards end of next quarter.
Okay, and one final question. We had stated that our focus would be to gain back few of the customers which Orchid historically lost, okay, in both US and Europe, okay. What is the progress on that, and have we been able to get back almost all, or it is still work in progress and a lot more can be done? So some thoughts on that will be helpful.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Himanshu. Again, for US, it's going to take them some time, and it's like a seesaw. I'll just explain what I mean. So we had converted one customer and received a pretty large order, almost $10 million, and bought some materials for that. And that customer got the US FDA 483, and their facility shut down now. So this is going to be like up-down seesaw. What we had stated in our first presentation of gaining back the share, I would say the bulk of the work in Europe has been done, but there are still opportunities. In fact, we have just developed a new product, and we'll be filing a DMF for that in Europe exclusively for one customer. Unfortunately, I can't name the product due to confidentiality right now. As at the right time, we'll be able to talk more about that product. So progress is happening on those. It's just that the progress is really slow, because as you understand, for a new product, once we develop, we have to do stability and file the DMF. That takes time. And based on our product, customer has to take batches and file the their ANDA or the market access documents in the respective country, which takes years. So it's a several years project. Will take some time.
Okay. Thank you from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Lano Sajal Kapoor, independent investor. Please go ahead.
Taking my questions, One is on the R&D investment. So the annual report suggests that we have booked or invested 6 crores last fiscal in R&D. What's typically included in an R&D investment? Is it the scientist's salary or something else? Or the consumables?
Yeah. So what happens is, for example, one of the products for which we are preparing new product filing in the US market, for that product we have to buy a lot of raw material, etc. And the research goes on to that. Those chemicals are extremely expensive. So that the facilities cost, consumable cost, that's classified as a separate cost center. And I think the R&D team salary is also part of that.
Right. And do we get any reimbursement from the customer for the consumables, or is it all our investment?
We don't do grants wherein we would get reimbursement. All the IT is owned by the Orchid. So we don't get any reimbursement. It is built into the price to the customer.
Sure, sure. No, got it. And secondly, regarding the product and the customer concentration, would you be able to share how much we revenue-wise we are making from the top product and top customer and the top three products and top three customers, and where this number was when you bought this business a couple of years back?
Yeah. So on top three products, I have the numbers at hand. On top customers, I'll have to check and come back. So top three products contribute to roughly 3/4 of our sale. And that has been the case since the time we have taken over the business. So these top three products are the three largest products across the world for cephalosporin antibiotics. And I've named them in the past so I can talk to you about them. They are Cefixim, Cefroxim Acetil, and Cefprima. These three are the largest products for Orchid.
And any of these products, is there any sort of exclusivity with a single customer, or is it kind of widely shared across multiple customers, or is it a single customer in a single geography, that kind of relationship?
No, those kind of things are not there. They are widely distributed. Sorry, I lost you.
I was interested in about asking about, is there any sort of customer concentration risk, because we have got three products. Are we supplying these three products to three or four large customers? Is that the kind of scenario we have here?
So out of these three products, for one product we have tied up with the innovator of the product. So they buy exclusively for us for their restricted markets. But we are free to sell to everyone else in the world, and our sales mix is a healthy mix of both.
All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Vishal Manchanda from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with respect to the new NC molecule that's going to be launched in the regulated market, would you be eligible for a milestone payment apart from royalties? So whenever an approval comes in Europe or the US, will there be a milestone payment around this?
No, there will be no milestone payment. There's only a royalty, but the royalty is based on the end consumer sales. So Allecra cannot take more payment upfront and shortchange us on our royalty.
Right. Okay. Okay. And second one is related to this trial in India, whether you would be doing the trial only for urinary tract infection, or you would also do it for pneumonia as well?
No, the trials will be done only for UTI.
Okay. But the opportunity is also for pneumonia if it is tested and proven
Yes. So I think secretine is already approved on pneumonia, stomach infection, and UTI.
So you would eventually develop these for the other indications also?
I think so, although I'm not sure of the regulatory requirements with respect to that as of now.
And sir, was there any seasonality in the number during the quarter? So does this quarter tend to be higher?
No. So historically for Orchid, first half has been 40% and second half has been 60%. But we've tried to work a lot on our H1 numbers. So maybe this year, the skew towards H2 would be slightly lesser.
Okay. Okay. And just one final one. If you could, I'm not sure whether you've answered this earlier, but if you could give a number as to what's the total value of imports that India makes from China or other markets for all cephalosporine products, whether it is final formulations, API or intermediates related to cephalosporins.
In terms of value, I don't have the number offhand. But if you look, include all the starting materials, so practically 100% comes from China. So that's a pretty large value. Maybe by, you could drop me an email and I can check this number and come back to you. But in terms of API, there is very little which comes from China to India as the API. Advanced intermediates, yes, but India makes for its own consumption. In fact, in oral products, India exports to China and worldwide, and we have much larger capacities than China on oral products.
Okay, and why is it that? Why is it that they don't have enough capacities on the oral front?
I think somehow Chinese, till they get an itch short, they don't feel they have gone to the doctor. So traditionally, Chinese has been a much stronger injectable market rather than oral.
Okay. So do we have a cost advantage as well because of the scale that we have in oral?
Definitely that might be there. And the only indicator I have with respect to cost is that we're able to compete with them wherever they want to sell in the oral market. So as a country, I think we are doing quite well.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I would like to express my gratitude to all of you. We value your insights and your questions make us more vigilant. Your trust and support are fundamental to our success. And we are dedicated to creating long-term value for all our shareholders and stakeholders and excited about the opportunities that lie ahead. Thank you for your time. I look forward to more continued journey of growth and prosperity together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With this, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Systemic Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.